Welcome back to He Leadeth Me, a spiritual formation podcast for focused staff, students, and friends. I'm Jessica, manager of spiritual formation for Focus, and today I'm once again joined by Dr. Joseph Hallcraft. Dr. Hallcraft is the director of the Avila Institute's Higher Calling Program, which is a program that offers formation to men discerning the priesthood. And he did an episode with us before where he took questions that some of our students had posed about vocational discernment. And we still have more questions. So Dr. Hallcraft has graciously joined us again today to answer those questions. So Dr. Hallcraft, thank you for coming back again.
Oh, it's great to be with you again, Jessica. Thank you for the invitation.
So Dr. Hallcraft, I want to jump right in to these questions. And one of them, I think, is particularly relevant, especially for this generation. The student asks, I sometimes want to discern the priesthood, but I never have had a good example of marriage. I'm wondering if my desire for priesthood is actually coming from God, or if I have subconscious fears about marriage. Should I focus on my own healing before I discern priesthood? Give me your thoughts.
Yes, there are several parts to that question, right? And maybe we'll start with the last part there. Should I focus on my own healing before I discern priesthood? You know, Jessica, we should always seek healing first. We have to remember that God's mercy is attracted to our brokenness, because inside his mercy is his healing touch, which always leads to new beginnings. When we encounter Christ in his merciful love and invite him into our specific wounds, although difficult it may be, the divine physician performs surgery on our soul. This leads to a transformation of heart and mind, which always brings a clarity to our vocation, certainly to the priesthood, but whatever path of life, whatever state of life that God has designed for you. In the High Calling Program, you know, it's not uncommon for men to ask similar questions. I can't remember if we talked about this last time, but in a recent conversation I had with a young man, and I think this soundbite really speaks to it. He says, you know, Dr. Hallcraft, I am healed and now I'm free to discern. I am healed and now I'm free to discern. So when I'm asked the question, should I focus on my own healing before I discern priesthood? Yes, because once again, inside of that encounter with Christ's merciful love, where we begin to see as we ought to see, we need to give voice to the drama of the brokenness in our life. Wounds are not a stumbling block, but a threshold in which God desires to reveal himself. And ultimately, the path to which we choose, the path to which God reveals to us, we have to remember that this is order to salvation, that our vocation itself is order to our salvation. And what do I mean? It's interesting, Jessica, that if you were to go to the word salvation, and it's Latin, it comes from a Latin word, salvatio. Inside that, its root is salve. It translates as healing balm. That's a very important word, especially for the spiritual masters, because when we talk about brokenness, when we talk about woundedness and these sorts of things, and for many, it's hard to talk about, it boils down to becoming vulnerable before God. And what's interesting about that is, to become vulnerable then is to allow Christ to move in your heart. The word vulnerable comes from the Latin vulneratio, which speaks to our woundedness. It literally means to be wounded, right? So here you have, I think, a nice word juxtaposition going on, to where a salvation means God's healing balm, and wound, a rather vulnerable meaning to be wounded or to open up your wound. Once we do that, we can begin, once we understand that, can begin to see the importance of how opening ourselves up to Christ's merciful love and allowing him to dress our wounds with his healing balm is, we could say, our working out our salvation in fear and trembling. That beautiful passage that comes to us from Philippians 2:12, this call we have to work out our salvation, fear, and trembling. So why do I speak to all of that? Because as we talk about this, you know, is it good to be healed first before I discern priesthood? This is the first place God desires, God's mercy desires to encounter us. It is attracted to our brokenness. And in order for us to discern as we ought to discern, then we need to, you know, bring order to our house, which is another very, very important piece. Last time together, Jessica, we were talking about, you know, tips to better discern. Well, certainly healing is a part of one of those tips, right? We have to keep our house in order. You know, you can't find something in a mess. So it's going to be hard to find your vocation if your life has no order to it. So we have to establish that healing, yes, is a foundation. And once we have that foundation, once we've established that more personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then we can begin to appreciate, again, some of what we talked about a few weeks ago with regards to how our days ought to be caught up in this kind of perpetual prayer. Part of this is, again, bringing order to our lives, that, you know, how and when we pray, how and when we serve, study, exercise, sleep, so on and so forth, is about order in our day. It is about bringing clarity to what God is calling us to. But again, in the world of foundation, if the healing is not there, then it's going to be difficult to see, because I think we have all been there where maybe that brokenness is a fractured relationship. And for one reason or another, there hasn't been reconciliation. We need to allow Christ to move in our hearts. Transformation is always first a movement of grace, you know, operating our souls that opens us up to learn how to love as Christ loves on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And to begin that conversation, just not with Jesus, but also as the Spirit prompts us, to those who we need to be reconciled with. Because when you talk about woundedness and brokenness, we're not talking about stubbed toes and broken legs, right? We're often talking about fractured relationships and maybe something that someone has said. We need to address that. We need to encounter that. These should not be stumbling blocks, but thresholds in which God desires to reveal himself to us.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And I never knew that the root of salvation meant healing balm. But here's my question for you. I feel like I see our young people kind of becoming obsessed with their own healing. And it seems like when people are discerning and they say, oh, but I need to work on my own healing first, I've seen people do that in a really positive way, where they have taken a year to really go to counseling, and maybe they do that on a weekly basis. They really dive in to allowing God to heal those fractured relationships, the effects of fractured relationships, and then they discern. But I also kind of see people who are in a perpetual state of working on their own healing. And it seems to me that at a certain point, it becomes unhealthy, because it kind of becomes life determining. They start defining themselves by that brokenness, and they never really get to discernment. Have you seen that? And if so, how do you advise people who have a tendency to become perpetually interested in their own healing?
Yeah, that's a beautiful observation, beautiful point, and an important observation, Jessica, because I have experienced it, no doubt. There's a tendency to kind of live in this, these tyranny of memories, if you will, where the past just kind of gets the best of us, and we just abide in that memory, and we don't seek out of it. And or if we do, we aren't actively engaging the particulars of what we need to do. So there's a couple things at play here. First of all, and I noted this again last time we were together, it's very important in this moment to get a spiritual director. Again, as Benedict 16th noted, if you're serious about holiness, then get a spiritual director. And it was that frank, because of things like this, where there's a tendency to just kind of, you know, drift in this tyranny of memories where we find ourselves not really actively engaging or pursuing holiness. And so get a spiritual director, give yourself a timeline. You set a year and then, okay, you know, you start to move forward. Give yourself 6 to 12 months. Now, it's never to put an exact time frame on your will, if you will, on the way in which Christ moves and how he heals, because in some cases, Jessica, it might take a few years, no doubt. But if we are journeying with someone, specifically a spiritual director or a mentor, we can trust ourselves with. I know, Jessica, you are in charge of spiritual formation with Focus. It's a beautiful vocation, beautiful calling. You just said you are working with people. As you work with people and you listen to them, because how we speak and what we say can only be as good as we listen, right? When we listen to them, we invite the Holy Spirit into that encounter. And then as we do, we listen to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit might be prompting us to share with those who might be going through the healing process to move forward, making the decisions they need to make. Obviously, always, anywhere and everywhere, making the Spirit present in those encounters. But as we speak to timelines and importance of them, it does give us a sense of objectives, goals, moving forward, if you will. And we also have to understand that as we talk about holiness, and let's define it simply as walking in the presence of God and how this kind of sets us apart from the world, we have to understand that holiness is the means to discerning our vocation and the end of answering our vocation, which is to say, holiness is, in a manner of speaking, means and ends to the degree that it not only reveals God moving in our life, but also, as it does, the way in which God, who is divine physician, is actually touching these specific wounds. Holiness is walking with God, moving forward, right? It's not stagnant. It doesn't go stale. It doesn't walk backwards. It moves forward. And so there's a real sense of movement. So when you raise that question, the question I raise to, say, a directee I might be with, or maybe it's someone in the High Calling program, is, all right, where were you at? Where are you now? And where are you going? You know, to just kind of have that kind of conversation. But if we, and this is really important, when it comes to discernment can never be done in isolation. Right. So
such a good point.
If someone is suddenly disappearing from the regular community gatherings that he has been a part of, and he's no longer showing up to regular mass and confession, that sort of thing, it's really our call as faithful Christians and Catholics and Christ's merciful love to reach out to them. Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, used to speak to this beautifully. The importance of reaching out to those in need, going to those in need. This is what God does. And if we notice this, or we are made aware of this, this is what Christian love does, right? Enough is never enough until it gives everything. And so as people who are involved in formation, I really, really encourage them to be present as they could possibly be for this reason. I think you used the word perpetuity. Yeah, that's what's going on. And so to step into that conversation with, specifically in this case, the young man who might be discerning a call to the priesthood, or the woman, of course, who might be discerning religious life, to begin the conversation, because behind new questions is always new beginnings, right? So it's everything that we can do is to take them by the hand and just lead them forward.
You emphasized the importance of having a spiritual director, which truly is just so crucial, because we really can't discern our vocations by ourselves. You are a spiritual director. When you are walking with someone who has significant healing needs, but they also are experiencing what you believe might be a genuine call to the priesthood, what signs do they show that the healing has taken place and you think they're ready to now pursue their vocation?
Mm. Well, I think there's lots of signs that are there, and it's not something that happens overnight, right? Because what we're talking about is, especially when it comes to healing and that freedom that leads to better discern, is something that's organic, right? It happens over time. You know, I have four kids, and my second youngest suddenly went from like 4'11" to 5'3". I didn't see it happen, but it just kind of happened. You know, it's like, oh, I see 5'3" now, and he's all excited. What does 5'3" look like if we were to take this analogy? A young man who has a smile on his face, a young man who's free to engage the people around him, who's a little more lively and robust in what he does. The young man is now willing to be present to others. You find him praying a little more, a little extra. He's actively engaging the question about discernment. You know, it's not something we talked about last time, but I think another great tip, and it's within this context, I think we could talk about, is the importance of daydreaming, right? Imagine yourself a priest. What does that look like? Does that get you excited? Maybe spend time with the priest to get to know better what a priest does, his prison ministry, his time with the sick. You know, have to hang out with priests. When young men are doing this, just not as directees and or as those who I might be mentoring, but just even more generally, my conversations with the many, many men in our program, what I have noticed is that they are present to others. They are present to others. A very clear sign to me that someone is not discerning well, or has just chosen not to discern the path to which at least he initially communicated, was he goes in isolation. That's not uncommon. When I see him engaged, I see him actively pursuing his vocation, that's a clear sign. But there's a certain sense, and I'm sure you've encountered this, Jessica, and many of our listeners, I'm sure, have as well. When let's call it, someone is in good space and they're more clearly intentional in the discernment, you see an extra kick in their step, right? You see them, again, engaging prayers, their prayer life and the sacramental life. And the other thing, too, is they want to talk about Jesus. Not that, you know, talking about whether or not you like Top Gun Maverick is a bad thing. Just saw that movie, is great. But that the conversations, again, are holy conversations, that they point to subject matter that has redemptive value to it. This kind of thing suggests that the Spirit is moving, the Holy Spirit is operating the soul, and that there's a certain openness, pliability, if you will, to God's call. And so, you know, it's interesting. John Paul II used to talk about the sacramentality of the body, right? You know, so if you are embarrassed, you know, red cheeks, right? If you're sad, you will see tears. Well, what is the sacrament of interior joy and interior freedom but a smile, right? And just a certain sense of, you know, just joyful. Just that in you know, enthusiasm, theos, you know, to bear God within, to be enthusiastic about Jesus Christ. This is, for me, a very clear sign. I dare say, you know, lowercase s here, but sacramental sign of God's presence. When I see a joyful young man engaging others, smiling, talking scripture, talking about the faith, but also able to just be a man, you know?
That's such a simple sign and yet so telling. If they're smiling, if there's a kick in their step. That leads me to think about something else, though. I've seen kind of two situations expressed a little differently in women and in men, but I describe it as vocational stagnation, where for women, it seems like there's a clear desire for marriage, and yet no one has presented themselves to marry. And sure. So they start to wonder, maybe God is wanting me to be religious. But with men, I've seen stagnation as they kind of waffle and they think, oh, maybe God is calling me to the priesthood, and they don't discern it for a few years. There's not a strong desire there, but nothing has happened in their life. The circumstances have not clearly pointed them down a path, and it leads to stagnation and ultimately to unhappiness. You see the exact opposite of the kick in their step and the smile.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for people in that situation?
Yeah, be proactive, right? If and now this might depend on the context of where the young man is at. Is he finishing school? Does he have a 9-to-5 job? But be proactive, be intentional. Go to Come and See weekends, whether they be a religious community or a diocesan retreat. You know, a lot of these dioceses now have what's called the Quo Vadis retreat, which I'm sure, you know, your guys are familiar with. These Eucharistic centered retreats that no doubt focus on being called. Be proactive, explore the option itself, right? Because as the old proverb goes, Jessica, what you feed grows. You feed stagnation, that will elicit more stagnation. Right?
Mm, such a good point.
What we have to understand is that the Holy Spirit is active, right? So if we are inviting the Holy Spirit in our life, and this is why we go back to that first tip in the importance of prayer. If we are inviting the Holy Spirit into our life, if we are praying every day, the Holy Spirit will inspire, prompt, move, act in our life. And as we cooperate with that grace, and part of that cooperation is to be active, God will reveal himself. Now, could it be that God will reveal himself in our stagnation? No doubt I've heard stories where God has revealed himself loud and clear. But the reality is those are more of the anomaly than what is commonplace and certainly what would be prudential. If you talk with any man who is discerned, at least in my experience, when he was more active, and again, this goes back to previous conversations about just not prayer, sacraments, but holy friendships and doing all those things we need to do, then God will reveal himself, right? So it's really about how we spend our day and how we spend our time. Now, I say context to college or work because I do experience it with a lot of guys where they will tell me, well, I've got a couple more years of college and then I'll just discern. Okay, fair enough. But the reality is God might want to show something to you about your vocation today, right? Because what we're talking about is, again, kind of going back to the original point with regards to healingness and holiness, is inside of those two core principles of the Christian Catholic life, to be healed and then to become more holy. God will show you, as it has been said now, and it's now commonly said, how to be a better version of who God is calling you to be. And so it's more for me about pursuing holiness today and allowing that holiness to show itself in so far as what God desires from you.
You mentioned that sometimes people think, well, I'll discern after this, after college or after some other event, and God might want to speak to you about your vocation today. That leads to another question that the students asked, which is the right decision to graduate college before entering the seminary or religious life? What do you think about that?
Well, each and every one of us has a particular story, a whole different set of circumstances, of life circumstances and life history, where it's impossible to say, this is what you should do, you know, when you're 21, 23, 25, or when you're a sophomore, junior, senior. I think by nature, Jessica, the tendency is for men when they are seniors in college to start thinking about it more critically, no doubt. But I talk about the uniqueness of each situation because sometimes a young man will call me. He might be 20, finishing his second year in college. And when I listen to him, it's time for him to go now, you know, and he's encouraged by his spiritual director, vocation director, and everyone around him. Yeah, it's time. And part of that is when you begin the application process and you are accepted into seminary, the reality is you are living a different life, right? Especially when you start talking about the, you know, Aurarium or just the daily rhythm and tenor of being a first, second year seminarian. That's very different than, say, being a third, fourth year college student. Now, as is often the case, if, say, you are only done with 2 years, you're basically just finishing college as a seminarian, and that's what minor seminaries are for. But the reason why it's not kind of one size fits all is because each young man has his own story and is in a different place of intellectual and spiritual maturity. Some men are ready, some men are not. Some God says to some, go, and God says to others, not yet. You know, so it's not my intention to be ambiguous or vague. Actually, quite the contrary, it's to be as specific as I can possibly be, which is to say, if you are in that space, again, find a spiritual director, seek a mentor, you know, start to roll up your sleeves in prayer and start asking God. You know, the High Calling Program exists essentially to accompany this man because it's kind of a pre-acceptance year. And so this is the kind of guy we get a lot, actually. To that end, what I have come to discover is what I've been speaking to, that of these guys that are in this different space, you know, sometimes they're ready to go, sometimes they're not. But the most important thing is to be intentional in your discernment, mindful of how we've been talking about discernment.
So Dr. Holcraft, you have been walking with men for a number of years to help them discern their vocations. What are your tips for young people discerning?
Yeah, well, maybe to just bring back some of what we've talked about before, but to include a few others. So we talked about the importance of developing a rhythm of personal prayer and what that looks like, just not, you know, in our prayers like the Rosary and Chapel Divine Mercy, but going to Mass and just by and large, the sacramental life, meeting God in the sacrament. We've talked about the importance of holy friendships, going to Come and See weekends. Even today, we've noted things like daydreaming or the like, keeping your house in order and how important that is. But I can only, honestly, Jessica, echo what we just said about holiness itself and the importance of holiness when we talk about it, because far too often we are constantly looking for very specific answers at very specific times. But if we are pursuing holiness as we ought, then we can begin to appreciate that it's both means and end, means to discern and end insofar as God revealing himself. And this is why, you know, I talk about my son, he's 4'11", then he's 5'3". It's like, and then suddenly he's 5'3". As we define holiness as walking in the presence of God, he will show himself to you. So ultimately, it's to say discernment is hearing the voice of God and following where he leads. And there is simply no substitute for holiness and for silent prayer in this task. So it is, I would just kind of close for the men discerning the importance to dedicate time to our Lord in silent prayer before the day begins, because once the day begins, it ultimately is no longer ours, right? We've all experienced this. And then the prayer time we intended to make ultimately is swept up and taken up by other things, those other things that are a part of our day. So establish that morning prayer time, and then just be mindful of these other things that we've discussed. And as we do, God will reveal himself to you.
Dr. Holcraft, to close things out today, could you tell us a little bit more about the Higher Calling Program?
Yeah, so the High Calling Program, Jessica, it's a live online program that men are afforded the opportunity in these 3-week modules over the course of an academic year to journey with just some of the top formators and spiritual masters that we have in the United States. Quite frankly, we are truly blessed. I know you've seen the list. Just truly blessed. Father Boniface Six, Father McManus, Dr. Marivelli is with us, Father Kakali, Father Pachansky, Chris Carson's, Father Brent, Dominican, who has a popular following online with his YouTube, joined us now too. We just, We are so gifted and so blessed. And I'm excited because, you know, from last year to this year, we work with a great number of men, and what they receive ultimately does become a barometer and a measuring stick for them to begin to discern better. We take a careful look at to the interior life. What does it mean to discern with the spirits, conversion, celibate love, of course, the Eucharist, Mary as model discerner, all these very rich topics. And you can do it at a fair pace, right? Just one night per week, Jessica. There's a commitment, but it doesn't overwhelm the guys by and large. It doesn't overwhelm them. And honestly, a lot of them begin to kind of look forward to the weekly meetings, the typically Wednesday night gatherings, because of the fellowship they experience. They'll be journeying with close to 100 men from across the country who are discerning the call to the priesthood. So if they're not asking the questions, someone else is that they want to ask, right? The questions we're talking about here in these podcasts. And it's just food for the soul, food for the young man who's discerning the call to the priesthood and who's intentional, who desires to know where God is leading him. It's just a beautiful venue, beautiful place. And you're doing it with, you know, your vocation director too. It's the vocation directors are involved. And so it's just it's a great joy and a great gift to men. I say young and old. We have quite a few 30 plus, 35 plus guys who are discerning with us and who have experienced a great deal of fruit.
Hearing about it, it sounds amazing, and it makes me wish that I was a young man discerning the vocation to the priesthood. But sadly, I will just have to hear about it from others. Well, I have included a link to the program's website in the section describing the podcast. So if you are interested, please check that out. And Dr. Holcraft, could you close us with a prayer for our audience?
Oh, of course, Jessica. Thank you. It was great to share this time with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, we do just give you special thanks and praise for the gift of your life. We ask, Lord, that you might continue to reveal yourself to us and to all of our listeners as they are seeking you to better serve you. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to show us your path. And as you do, keep us mindful of the ways in which you call us to serve. We pray all these things through your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Dr. Holcraft, thank you for joining us today. And thanks, everyone, for listening.